The title for this talk is Pathways Through the Third Mansion. In the course of the history of Christian spirituality, there have been various attempts to divide up the process of spiritual growth and development into various stages. The more traditional way has been to divide this whole journey of faith into three basic stages. As far as we know, Origen, around the year 200, is the first one to give names to these three stages. He spoke of the beginner, the proficient, and the perfect. And then what we call the Pseudo-Dionysius, who lived around the year 550, he is the one that gave the three traditional names that we still use to describe these three stages, namely the purgative way, the illuminative way, the unitive way. The purgative way is primarily concerned with purging our soul and our life of all of our faults. The illuminative way is primarily concerned with growth in virtues, increasing the light of Christ and the light of God's grace in our own life. And the third, the unitive way, is concerned primarily with developing a very deep, intimate, mystical union between our life and our soul and God. St. Augustine also speaks of three degrees of love, the incipient, the growing, and the full-grown love. In the 16th century, St. Teresa of Avila further divided these three ways into seven mansions. The purgative way would be the first two mansions, the illuminative way, the third and fourth mansion, and the unitive way, the fifth, sixth, and seventh mansions. This particular division of St. Teresa of Avila's resulted from a vision which she once had. And as it is described by her, God showed her a most beautiful crystal globe or diamond made in the shape of a castle, containing seven mansions or seven courtyards. In the innermost mansion dwelt the King of Glory in the greatest splendor and light, illuminating and beautifying all those souls living in each of the seven mansions. The nearer one got to the center, the stronger was this light. The differences in the intensity of the light as one got farther from the center resulted in the seven distinct regions marked by a series of concentric circles around the inner light, the inner castle. Each of these seven mansions contained, in addition, many smaller circles or regions. And outside the castle, all was foul and dark and infested with poisonous creatures. This beautiful crystal globe is what we might think of as God's kingdom here upon earth. The King of Glory is the Blessed Trinity dwelling within us. St. Paul says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells within you?" Or as Jesus himself told the apostles, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." As a member of Christ's kingdom on earth, we are expected to progress from one mansion to another until we are totally conformed into the likeness of Christ and are united with God. Therefore, in that sense, we can say it is God's will that every one of us arrive at the seventh mansion, the inner circle of union with God. And I would think that if we cooperated totally, 100%, with God's graces during the course of our life on earth, that by the time we die, the hope would be that each one of us would have arrived at that seventh mansion. However, God in his mercy accepts us as we are, and the teaching of the church in regards to purgatory is to remind us that for those of us who do not reach the seventh mansion of unity with God here upon earth, that God in his mercy will continue to develop our union with him after we die, until we all arrive at that mystical union with God. Let me say a few words about each of the mansions, but then to talk specifically and primarily about the third mansion, since this third mansion is the one where most of us spend the greater portion of our life. The task of those who are in the purgative way, the first and second mansions, is primarily to purge themselves of their faults. Those in the first mansion are those who have made a commitment to God and as a Christian to Jesus Christ, to accept Christ as their personal Savior. Nevertheless, it is only a half-hearted commitment. They try to compromise in their life, and their commitment to the world, to the things of this earth, to their own pleasure, to their own success, to their own power, is equal to that of their commitment to God. And therefore, people in this first mansion, this first stage, are people who we might speak of as believing Christians, but nevertheless, they are Christians who many times choose something else in the place of God. And in that sense, people in this first mansion would be those who find it rather easy to commit mortal sin. People who have not yet made a sufficient commitment to God so that they have turned their back on the things that are totally displeasing to God. They do not take their relationship with God very seriously. They find themselves pulled in two directions, trying to serve two masters. And we know that Jesus said that ultimately this is impossible, that sooner or later we have to make a choice one way or another. Those who have continued into the second mansion, which is still the purgative way, are people who have experienced a second conversion and have definitely made a choice of God in place of themselves and the world. The title that we might give to people in this second mansion is that of good Christians. These people are considered to be good people, basically. However, they are people that have not made a total commitment to God, and therefore, without hesitation, they deliberately commit what we call venial sins, which means deliberately do things that they know are displeasing to God, and yet not something serious in minor things. People in this second mansion would seldom, if ever, commit a mortal sin. But in smaller matters, they have not yet decided to make that total 100% commitment to God that is necessary in order to proceed to the higher mansions. They fudge on their commitment. They still continue to compromise. There are times, perhaps every day or at least every week in their life, when they know quite clearly that God would prefer for them to do one thing, but they deliberately choose to do something else. Oh, this is only a venial sin. This is not really serious. These people therefore lack generosity. They grow tired of doing good, and they offend God in many small ways, even deliberately. They are still quite selfish and proud and vain and envious and greedy, slothful, gluttonous, full of lust, to proceed from this second mansion, from the purgative way to the illuminative way of the third mansion, requires another conversion, a total commitment. We might call this a third conversion. A conversion, however, that for many people takes place very early in life, probably not before the age of 15, because to make this commitment of the third mansion requires freedom to go in the opposite direction and the ability to take hold of one's life and to make a total gift of that life to God. The people who dwell in this mansion are what we call devout Christians. And this task in the third mansion is primarily to grow in virtue. It is no longer a matter of avoiding sin so much as a question of how can I love God more? How can I please God more perfectly? How can I grow in faith, in hope, in charity, and in all the other virtues? Now, beyond that third mansion, there is the fourth mansion, and this is what we would call fervent Christians. And these are people that have substantially overcome the things of this world, that basically never commit any real faults. They have weaknesses, they have limitations, but they are, in a sense, over the hump. They have accomplished as much as they are able with the help of God's ordinary graces. Beyond this, there are still three mansions we call the unitive way. This is the way of the contemplative soul, the way of mysticism. And the particular call to this way of the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh mansion is something that is due totally and completely to God. I dare say that many of us have had little tastes, little experience of this, because we do not remain exactly the same all the time, but like a bobbing cork on top of the water, that we go up and down. And so there would be certain moments in our life when we did have a mystical experience. But we cannot think of ourselves as dwelling in these higher mansions unless this is the consistent way of life. And so people who live in the fifth mansion are what we call saintly souls, people who live a contemplative life that have many mystical graces. Their prayer is the prayer of simplicity, of passive contemplation. These are people that are almost totally absorbed in God. And then beyond that is the sixth mansion, which is called the heroic soul. Saint Teresa of Avila describes this as the time of the spiritual engagement with the Lord Jesus, the preparation for the spiritual marriage of the seventh mansion. The seventh mansion, then, we might think of as the great saints. Let us now go back to the third mansion and talk about what are some of the pathways, what are some of the things that need to be accomplished in order to find our way through this particular part of our life. The likelihood is that the average person among us will spend somewhere between 20, 30, 40, 50, or even 60 years in this third mansion. Therefore, this is the one where perhaps we spend the greater portion of our life on earth for the average person. And that is the reason why we particularly need to know what is necessary during this time. Most of what is said in all of these conferences in this tape album have to do with the things that especially are necessary and important for people in the third mansion. St. Teresa compares the souls in the third mansion to the rich young man who came running up to Jesus in the gospel asking what must he do to gain eternal life. We find this described in especially in the 10th chapter of Mark's gospel. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a young man came running. Jesus' reply was, "Keep the commandments." Now, keeping the commandments is really the basic task of the second mansion. The young man replied, "Master, I have kept all of these since my childhood. What more do I need to do?" So here is someone who wanted to go beyond the second mansion, who wanted to live in the third mansion. We're told that Jesus looked on this young man with love. Jesus was very pleased to see this higher desire. He said to him, "There is one thing more you must do if you want to get into the third mansion and dwell there. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and after that come and follow me." The gospel tells us that when the rich young man heard these words of Jesus, his face fell and he went away sad because he had great possessions. Jesus turned to the apostles and said, "How difficult it shall be for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God." Or in our language, it would be, "How difficult it is for those who are rich to live and progress through the third mansion." Detachment, therefore, is the key to success in this third mansion. This is the acid test for the sincerity of our desires for holiness. Now, detachment of its very nature requires self-discipline, self-denial, mortification. In other words, penance, sacrifice. Without mortification, our souls will be dominated by self-love and absorbed by worldly pleasures and puffed up by worldly ambitions for power. A constant effort, therefore, must be made to detach ourselves from everything except God and God's will. This was what was lacking in the rich young man in the gospel. Such detachment does not come easy. It is very difficult. Most of us struggle with it all of our life. And this would explain why most of us spend the greater portion of our life on earth struggling, working our way through this third mansion. Such detachment does not mean that we stop loving God's creatures, but that we love them according to God's will and as God loves them and as God would wish us to have them. We must be aware of any unnecessary cares in our life that have nothing to do with us. There is so much to do and so little time to do it, we cannot afford to waste time on non-essentials. And so people in this third mansion, they try to get their priorities straight. They try to discover what are the really essential tasks of life, and they give their full attention to those. If there is any time left over for the non-essentials, well and good, but if not, so much the better. For those who wish to succeed in getting through the third mansion, a person needs to be constantly open to new insights about one's faults, and particularly what we call the negative shadow, those faults that are below the level of consciousness. In order to discover this negative shadow, ordinarily we need help. Now, our dreams, our nightly dreams, are one way, if they are interpreted properly, to help us to discern what is our negative shadow. Spiritual direction, a good spiritual friend to help us, or some kind of psychotherapy are other ways. We need to make use of every possible means available in order to discover both our negative shadow, our repressed hidden faults, as well as our positive shadow, which is that total potential for good that we are still unaware of, that's still below the level of consciousness. For us to conquer the evil inclinations within us, we must be detached from all desire to increase our earthly possessions and our wealth, detached from all desire to lord it over others, detached from all ambition to power and authority. Saint Teresa says that if one should seek and persevere to add more and more to one's possessions, however good one's intentions might be, let there be no fear that that person will ever reach the higher mansions. And so, closely connected with this basic element of detachment is to become aware during our journey through the third mansion of those demons, those evil forces that tempt us and try to lead us astray. Basically, these are the seven capital sins. And they are pride, anger, envy, lust, greed or avarice, gluttony, sloth. I might add several more. Vanity, self-respect, or human respect, rather, selfishness, and the ambition for power. These are the demons that attack us in a very special way all of our life, but most of all in this third mansion. And the first task is to discern them, is to recognize that there is an inclination to every one of these demons, every one of these evil inclinations is present within us. But what we need to do is try to discern which is the capital sin, which is the demon that is our worst enemy, the one that will give us the most trouble, the one that is the most difficult to eradicate, but especially the one that we are most conscious of, most aware of. Instead of trying to conquer all of our faults at the same time, it is better, as the Imitation of Christ said, if we could overcome one fault each year, we would soon be perfect. And so my recommendation is to pick out one particular demon, one particular capital sin that is giving you the most trouble, and make up your mind that within the next year or two, you are going, with the help of God's grace and whatever other help you can get, to bring that under control, to practice the necessary mortification and self-discipline, whether that be greed or anger or pride or envy or lust or gluttony, whatever it might be. Once you have succeeded in bringing one of these demons under control, then it will be much easier to attack each of the others and to overcome them. Some of the dispositions that need to be fostered if we are to succeed in getting through the third mansion are, first of all, a resolute will. We must persevere in our efforts despite all obstacles. We must be determined never to halt until the goal is reached of union with God. The will to succeed in doing God's will should be both constant and generous. God loves and helps courageous souls, provided they are humble and they trust in Him rather than in their own strength. We can be sure that God will never ask the impossible of us, but he does ask us to give him our all. We can expect to fall many times along the way, but we must have the courage to get up and try again. Discouragement could be another of those demons that threaten the success of our journey through the third mansion. If we are to overcome discouragement, which can have disastrous consequences in our life, we must have a daring confidence in God. And therefore, that would be the second disposition that we must work on. What has been said in the conference on the little way of spiritual childhood, therefore, is especially applicable for people who are in the third mansion. We must realize and never forget that God brings great good out of everything. For those who love God, all things work together unto good. This includes even our past faults, even our weaknesses, our limitations, our failures. Once we have begun this task, this journey of faith towards holiness, we must allow nothing to turn us back. Trusting in God, we must believe that we can conquer all in due time. This is what we mean by possessing a warrior spirit. In talking about the little way of spiritual childhood, I emphasize the importance of having great desires. And so, if we are ever to succeed in getting through the third mansion, we must ardently aspire to the very heights of sanctity. The one all-possessing passion of our life should be holiness and union with God. As St. Therese put it, I want to see God. God will give himself only to those who really want him. And we must never doubt that God will fulfill our highest aspirations, provided we walk in humility and make a constant effort and put our trust in God rather than on ourselves. Without these ardent desires, we will lack the courage to make the necessary sacrifices to get through this third mansion. There is another disposition that's very important in this third mansion, and that is discretion. And here's where we especially need the help of a spiritual friend or a spiritual director to keep us from going to excess. Our efforts need to be wisely directed and tempered by common sense and good judgment. In this mansion, violence to self must be avoided, since it would prematurely use up our energies and leave us to flounder amid discouragement. Our efforts must be persevering and steady, without exhausting our capital of strength on great austerities. If we try too much violence on ourselves at this period in our life, it will probably break our soul and even our physical or mental health and prevent great progress later. One of the tasks that we need to work on during this particular time is to overcome fear and to experience a great liberty of spirit. And particularly is to overcome fear of pain and suffering. Is to be willing to accept pain and suffering and realize that God can bring great good out of it. With this kind of liberty of spirit, this kind of freedom from fear, where our whole emphasis is on love rather than fear, then there is solid hope that we will be able to find our way through this third mansion, and that we will not have to spend our whole life on earth working in this area, but we'll be able to go on to these higher mansions to which every one of us is called. This is the end of the conference on Pathways Through the Third Mansion.